Morning.
Morning.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is discarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, where we will rejoice with the church past and the church present, hailing Jesus as our Messiah, and hailing Jesus as our King. But near the end of that same week that begins with Palm Sunday, we will also reflect upon Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, won't we? At the end of that same week. And as the end of that next week weighs on our hearts and minds and spirits, before we meet once again on Palm Sunday and on Resurrection Sunday morning, I'd like to reflect upon a question that stirs my mind, even as it relates to Jesus' imminent death on the cross, even as it relates to us receiving Holy Communion this Sunday. Do we serve a God who cares? And if we believe he truly cares, how much does he care? And if we believe that he cares, does he care about me? I think it's especially relevant as you might be going through a time of hardship and a time of suffering in your own lives. Do we serve a God who cares? How much does he care? And does he care in a very general sense about his people? Or does he care about each person? Does he care about his church at large, or does he care about Bob Collins? Does he care about Lenore Markle, or does he care about Sharon Miller, or does he care individually about us? Or is he just caring? Do you follow me this morning? And I think it is especially relevant to know that he cares, how much he cares, and that he cares about me individually when you are going through a difficult time. Jim, could you pull your Bible out? I don't have it marked, but could you pull your Bible out where the scripture that you read in Isaiah 40? I just want you to read that first verse to me again, to the congregation. What does that first verse say about Judah?
Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?
Did you hear that this morning? Why do you say, O Jacob, that my way is hidden from the Lord, that you don't regard me? That, my friends, is the question. That is the question that they are asking. Does God care? Is my way hidden from you? Or do you care? How does it go, Jim? Is my way hidden from you, or what else?
my right is disregarded by my God.
And my
right.
It is my right disregarded? Or as we said as well, when we were looking at the third chapter of Malachi a couple of weeks back, as we said as well then, what good is it for me to give? What good is it to me to offer my gifts? Does God really see? Does God really notice? This is not a question, folks, that you have individually asked or if you have individually wondered about. Does God care? How much does he care? And does he care about me? And notice, before Jim reads this scripture this morning, before he read this scripture, where Isaiah declares, have you not heard? Have you not seen that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youth shall be weary and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up as wings, on wings as eagles. They shall run, and they shall not be weary. They shall walk, and they shall not faint. Think for a second, or at least meditate on, or be aware that when he spoke this to them, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, faints not, and neither is he weary? There's no searching of his understanding. Gives power to the faint. Them that has no might, he increases strength. Consider for a second, my friends, the situation they were in. These people had had their homes taken from them. It is what we call in theology the Babylonian captivity. Are you aware of that?
No.
That not only half of the nation of Israel had fallen to the Syrian armies, to the Assyrians, but Judah and the remaining tribes also fell to the Babylonians. And when they fell to these Babylonians, they did not just take over, they did not just rule them and let them remain in their land, but they destroyed their temple, they destroyed the wall around Jerusalem to rubble. As Jesus prophesied, he said, do you see this temple? Not one stone will remain upon another. Folks, that literally happened in 70 AD. Not one stone remained upon another. And not only did they reduce it to rubble, as we have seen vividly what war can do in the last several weeks, not only did they reduce their land and their temple and their wall to rubble, they took them, especially the intellectual people, the tradespeople, the literary people, the people that had skills in building, and the politicians and the doctors, especially them, they captured and they took off with them, and they settled them in Babylon. This is the scripture, this is the climate, this is a historical basis for God speaking to them when they cry out and say, does God really care? I want to just go back with you a second this morning as well to our first hymn this morning. A mighty fortress is our God and a bulwark that is never failing. He's our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. And his craft and his power are great, and he is armed with cruel hate. And on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Do you ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, and from age to age, he is the same. And he will win the battle. Can you reconcile yourself to these words this morning? Can you think about, can you make yourself aware of the historical basis of these words? Anybody read who the words and the author of this hymn was? Martin Luther. He decided that he would stand up to the Roman Catholic Church. He decided that he had enough of coming to the priest to receive forgiveness for his sins. He decided that he had had enough of indulgences where he was to give great gifts in order to prove that he was genuinely repentant of his sins and give that as evidence. And he instead nailed his theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. Where did that get him? Running for his life from those who were intending to kill him. And finally, a person in Germany took him into his castle, and he remained in exile there for years to come. And yet he states, a mighty fortress is our God. He is a bulwark that is never failing. He is our helper against the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Though still our ancient foe seeks to do us woe, his craft and his power are great, and he's armed with cruel hate, one little word will fell him. Amen? These people, my friends, are strong in faith. These are our examples. Do we serve a God who cares? Does he care about me? Not just the human race, but does he care about me? Does he see the beach? Or does he see grains of sand? Does he see the field? Or does he see blades of grass? These and other issues of does he care about me are when Luke writes that the words of our Lord, not five sparrows are sold for two farthings, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip even called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I want to just read for you a couple pieces of scripture that David wrote about God's individual care. David writes, "You've searched me, O Lord, and you have known me. You know where I sit and where I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my coming and my going, my laying down, my getting up. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind, you hem me in before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. I rise on the wings of the dawn. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light then becomes night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Even my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, in the secret place, when I was woven together in the heart of the earth. Your eyes even saw my unformed body. All the days ordained before me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. If he then cares for me, if he cares for me even that individually, then how much does he care? He doesn't just care for us and extend his hand, my friends, for the big stuff. Not just in a time of tragedy, but as the scriptures say today, he even extends his hand and his care to us even when we grow weary. The gospel is for men and women who have lost their strength in living and who may be losing it all the more day by day till they fear its utter extinction by the presence of thickening despairs and ceaseless gnawing against the spiritual fiber of their lives by silent misery and by unalterable grief. And this demoralizing effect of the Babylonian captivity upon the Jewish exiles is nowhere more apparent than here. It afforded them little comfort to be told that Yahweh was enthroned somewhere above the firmament. It afforded them little comfort that he was your creator of the ruler of the stars. What they desperately needed to know was whether he was able to help them, whether he cared to have anything more to do with them. Isaiah writes, even the youth grow weary. Even the youth go tired. But hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth, does not grow tired? Neither is he weary, though even the youth, even though all humanity may grow tired. For he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. And those that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. To such as wait upon him, the Lord imparts new strength. They do not merely just renew their strength, but they exchange their weakness for his strength. He cares when I am lost. He cares when I am weary. He cares when I am hopeless. He offers his promise of salvation. He offers his deliverance. He offers his strength, not just to most of us, but to all of us, to each of us. Aren't you glad this morning for a Savior like ours?